So we'll read Jeremiah 1 and then Jeremiah 39, not the whole thing. Okay. Jeremiah 1:1-8. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anath, the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." And then chapter 39, verses 11 to 12. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave orders about Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, saying, "Take him and look after him, and do nothing harmful to him, but rather deal with him just as he tells you." And let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for Jeremiah. Lord, and we thank you, God, for a prophet as submitted to you, God, as him, God. Help us, Lord, to see him as an example, Father. And open our hearts, God, to that we may be obedient, God, that we may hear your voice, Lord, and do all that you call us to, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Before kind of taking points from this, as I was kind of doing my reading and studying, there's two things I got to do. One, I got to kind of lay out the character of Jeremiah a little bit. And two, I need to kind of explain what's going on between chapters 1 and 39, because I kind of basically skipped over 39 chapters of an entire book. And so, and the reason why I need to do that is because from understanding basically what happens by the end of it, we're gonna draw some understanding and some things that I feel like God is speaking to us this morning. Now, quickly on Jeremiah is one of my favorite prophets, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And Jeremiah was known to be a good prophet. And not only was he a good prophet because he was accurate, he was a good prophet because he was obedient. All right. To be honest, if you look at the entirety of Jeremiah, the only person that really gets out of this alive, and I mean not necessarily alive, but really obedient to the Lord, really is Jeremiah. And so as a prophet, I would say he failed miserably in the ways of the world, in that he told a lot of people, don't do these things, turn back. He told the king, but the king never did. And so in that sense, he failed. But, I mean, well, I should say only in the worldly sense he failed, but in the kingdom of God, he succeeded. Right, he was as obedient and as faithful as any prophet that there could have been. In fact, he did everything that the Lord commanded him to do. And now, throughout his lifetime, it definitely was not easy. Now, I mean, we started in chapter 1 because that was God's call to him to go into the nations, right? Not just to Israel and Judah, but eventually he would also, in some way, speak to King Nebuchadnezzar as well. And so God had called him to do these things, but God gave him a promise very early on in his call. And that promise was, "I am going to deliver you." Right? The promise is, go and speak. God doesn't necessarily tell him, at least from the scriptures, we don't see necessarily that God warns him what's going to happen to his life. But God said, do what I tell you to do. And verse 8, he says, "Do not be afraid of them. I am with you to deliver you." Now, we skip all the way to chapter 39, and in order for us to understand this, basically over the 39 chapters, what happened was, basically Jeremiah continues to prophesy that God is going to lead them into exile, right? And he doesn't just say it once, he says it more than a few times, and part of the reason is because, you know, nobody believes him. There are some false prophets that come and prophesy against what he says. And so who does he talk to? He has to talk to the king. He has to talk to the leader of the guard. He has to talk to the general. He has to talk to the council of the king. And continually, over and over, he does these things. But what happens to him is not only does he get, he's not believed, he gets imprisoned, he's beaten, he's shackled, he gets thrown into a cistern. And basically what a cistern is back in the day is a man-made hole where water would be kept. And so the bottom is typically quite muddy and whatnot. And so when they threw him in there, he sank into the mud and he almost died. And so he almost basically died in the cistern. And because there was a famine going on, they starved him. And so Jeremiah did not go through a lot of good things, but I would say, let me finish this. So he didn't go through a lot of good things, and what he did was, all he did was basically warn the kingdom of Israel, turn back to God, and he warned the king, in order for you to survive what's coming, you need to do, basically you need to do this, this, and this. He basically told them a list of things you got to do. Right, for you and your family to survive, you need to follow God, you need to repent, you need to go out to meet the king of Babylon, and you and your family will live. Well, the king does none of that, right? Decides to follow the counsel of his elders, and what happens is Babylon ends up coming and destroys Israel. Right, the king, they run away in the middle of the night, and they overtake him, and basically they don't survive. Now, why did I... you know, kind of summarize the book of Jeremiah, and why did I decide to kind of, you know, talk about this? And it really comes in my points. And number one, and the first point that I really felt like God was saying to us is that God delivers on his promises, right? Number one, God always delivers on his promises. And what's really interesting to me, especially about this book, is, you know, a lot of things happened to Jeremiah, but it wasn't as if Israel was doing that well anyway. I mean, there was a huge famine going on, and there were battles going on at the time. However, although Jeremiah went through some difficulties, at the end of the day, it wasn't Jeremiah that died. Right? At the end of the day, it wasn't him that had to go through the in terms of long-term suffering. Yes, he suffered following the Lord, but at the end of the day, God delivered him. Not the people who followed worldly wisdom, right? God delivered him, not those who followed basically the fear of what's going to happen to them. And, you know, basically the grounds in which this comes in is God gives godly wisdom. He gives what we should do. But often that's juxtaposed with what the world tells us we should do. And what happens is, well, the king followed the world, and Jeremiah followed the Lord, and who ended up surviving? It was Jeremiah. And so when I was reading this, I was really reminded of Psalm chapter 91. And you don't have to really turn there, but let me read out two particular verses that I have. And verse 1, it says this, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." And then verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." See, what I felt like God was really speaking to us through the story of Jeremiah was this. There's a lot of things for us to fear, to be honest, right? We can be worried about our work. We can be worried about our career. We can be worried about where we're going and what happens to us. Much like Jeremiah, right? And I mean, he was put under a squeeze, right? By his king and by the people around him. He was dogged, he was beaten, and he suffered. And I think a lot of us go through this too, right? In our workplaces, there are people, you know, our quote-unquote, our kings, our bosses who kind of come after us, people who do not want us to succeed. Despite God asking us to be faithful, it's difficult. But at the end of the day, I believe God comes through on his promises like he did for Jeremiah. And so as we follow the word of the Lord, he's going to make sure he takes care of us. See, verse 7, "A thousand may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you." See, the whole idea of this psalm is this, is although people around you are going to go through these difficulties, and people around you, and I mean, and for me personally, every time I think of work, I don't know why, but in Hong Kong, I always think of the finance field, but probably because like 80% of the jobs in Hong Kong is finance, but the whole promise of God is people around you, right, there could be a financial crisis going on, right? The stock market could crash and all these things, but the promise of God is saying everyone around you could fail, but I'm going to uplift you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure that 10,000 may fall at your side, but it shall not approach you. See, this is God's promise to Jeremiah and to us, but the prerequisite for this is that we're willing to obey the Lord. Right, the prerequisite of God's promise in our life. And I mean, obviously, it's not a tit for tat, right? It's not just because we, right, you know, because you obey, I do it for you. Right? God loves us, and he'll often do it for his people. But the truth of the matter is, right, God is looking for those who he can fully and strongly support, and it's those who are willing to submit to him. And so you want job security? Don't rely on your boss. You want job security? Don't rely on your circumstance or thinking that you could go to one place and avoid a situation or something like that. You want security? Trust in the Lord, right? Follow his statutes. Follow the way in which he'll teach you and the way in which he asks you to live, right? 1,000 may fall at your right hand, or 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. And so that was the first thing I took from it, right? Despite everything, all the negative things that Jeremiah went through, he was the one that God delivered, not the king of Israel, right? And I really felt like the point that God really wanted to make is it was the man of God that got delivered, not the man of the world. It was the man of God that got uplifted, not the man of the world. It was the man of God that listened to him that got saved, not the one with worldly counsel. Okay, and that was really the heart that I felt like God was speaking to. And so to that, you know, that comes to my second point. It really comes from the juxtaposition between Jeremiah and King Zedekiah. And it's really interesting because what is the only difference between Jeremiah and King Zedekiah? I mean, in some ways, they were both God's chosen people. They were both the people of Israel. They were both the nation, from the nation of Israel. And the difference between Jeremiah and Zedekiah really are two things. The first is repentance and submission, meaning Jeremiah was always willing to submit to God, and he was fast to come into the presence of the Lord. And the second thing was, it was the counsel that Jeremiah held versus the counsel that the king held, right? The first one's easy. Jeremiah submitted. He repented. The king did not. The second one was, who did the king listen to? The king, if you read throughout the entirety of Jeremiah, oftentimes what would happen is he would ask Jeremiah to come and speak to him, and then he wouldn't listen to Jeremiah. He would listen to the people around him. Right? He has a council of leaders who will kind of guide and direct the king. And oftentimes, those were the people that threw Jeremiah into the cistern. Those are the people that beat Jeremiah. Those are the ones that said, do not listen to this man. This is what you should do, king. And what ended up happening was he listened to them. And, well, we all know what happened to the king was he died, right? And so, you know, and when I was reading this, I was really reminded of Psalm chapter 1. And please turn there with me. And I feel like this is actually a really good chapter for all of us to memorize. In fact, Psalm 1 was the first scripture I've ever made a conscious effort to memorize, the entirety of Psalm 1. And I got to say, this is probably the chapter that changed my life. I mean, there are ones that I like a lot more now in terms of ones that I enjoy more and things that are more relevant to me that I feel like in this season. But if there's a chapter of the Bible that changed my life more than any other, and that was a catalyst to me kind of stepping into this stage and all these sort of things, it was Psalm 1. And this started in third year of university. And so let's read it. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand on the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. If I was to summarize the entirety of Jeremiah in this way, it would be Psalm 1, right? The difference between those that know the Lord, those that know the Word of God, those that listen to the Word of God, those that are repentant and willing to submit to God, versus those who are entirely unwilling to know the word of God, unwilling to submit, unwilling to repent, and unwilling to have wise counsel, right? You do it, you're going to be blessed, right? You don't do it, I don't want to say destruction is going to come for sure, but you're probably going to go through some pretty tough lessons, right? Now, the beautiful thing, there's a part of this message where I feel like, although it's applicable to all, I specifically feel like God is speaking to Christians. The reason is because it wasn't as if it was between a Christian and a non-Christian. It wasn't like God was showing us the difference between Jeremiah and the kingdom of Babylon. He was showing us the difference between the prophet and the king of the same nation. And so, really, I feel like God really speaking to Christians in this way, right? There's a difference in our Christian life with those who know the word, read the word, listen to God, versus those who do not know the word, do not listen to God, and also in this case, listen to wise counsel. And so I feel like I'm beating a dead horse a little bit, and I feel like I'm kind of saying the same things over and over, but this is something that I really feel like God's sending in my heart this morning. Right? Who do you listen to? Do you have wise counsel around you? Right? Psalm 1 very clearly, right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked. Right? Do you have people around you that can speak into your life and not just agree with you, right? Oh, yeah, you're right. But really say, hey, listen up. This is not the way. And also, the second thing is, are you willing to listen to correction? And the correction of, you know, one is the word of God, but one, correction of, I don't want to use the prophets, even though Jeremiah was a prophet, but practically for us, are we willing to listen to correction of authority, right? And I'm talking about spiritual authority. Do you submit yourself to spiritual authority? And because it is under covering where we grow, and is also under covering and wise counsel where we're going to find the best way of life as well. And the last thing I really feel like in coming from this is, who do we fear and what do we fear? And actually, let me ask worship, whoever is coming up, to do this. And let me use this point, because I feel like, let me drive home this one. And so let's close our eyes. This is the one that's going to determine what you're going to do. Okay, and so the question I'm going to ask you is, who do you fear and what do you fear? Proverbs 9:10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The reason why I say your answer to this one is going to determine what you do is this, is because when we're fearful of our bosses and fearful of our circumstances, we will do everything in our power to satiate our bosses and our circumstance. When we fear that it is the people around us that dictate and control our lives, we will do everything that we can to satiate the people around us so that they will give us good favor. See, as human beings, naturally we have an inclination to kind of want to satisfy our fear by doing something about it. You know what I'm trying to say? And it's natural. There's something going on in our life. It's not right. And so we want to solve the problem. And so when we fear, what we fear is end up what we're trying to solve. See, but the problem with that is oftentimes when we try to solve our fear is we often don't do it in a godly way. And the reason of that is because we're already driven by fear. We're driven by something that is not necessarily of the Lord. Now, what Solomon is saying here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the reason why he says this is, see, when we fear God, the first thing we go to is the Lord. And the reason is because we would rather disappoint the world than to disappoint the God. And so what do? When we fear the Lord, we go to his word. We will go to him. We seek counsel that is godly. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today and speak to us. What is your fear? Do you fear your circumstance? Do you fear that you are out of control and that the only thing you can do is to get yourself out or to do something that can help you? Let me suggest to us, that's not the way. Go to God. Go to His Word and seek wise counsel. And so as Monica leads us in a song today, let's really reflect on this point, right? And you know, in this way, it's not a condemning word either. And I think I want to make that very, very clear. But as always, right, there's an invitation that there is something better. The Lord came so that we can have life, and not just life, but life abundantly here on earth. And so let's hold on to that promise, and let's go to Him. Let's seek His face.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the sky.
Shadow of your wings.
will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Stretches to the sky.
Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on that law he meditates day and night. Let's really pray this morning. Let's ask God that we're going to have a delight in His law. Let's ask Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Let's ask Holy Spirit to give us a desire to read His law, to memorize it, to know it. And let's ask God to also give us some godly counsel. Let's pray that God will help us in that way. And I think, you know, that's a good prayer request, right? Lord, can you give me someone, some people that I can really go to for advice? And so let's lift up, let's pray, let's ask God to help us as we journey into, you know, the mission that God has called each of us to. So let's pray. I just really feel like, as we're praying, that I feel like Holy Spirit just leading us into just a time of repentance, actually. You know, in Scripture, it always starts from repentance. Revival always starts from repentance. Renewal always starts from repentance. The coming of the Lord always starts from repentance. And so I just really felt like this morning, and maybe we could just pray. Maybe we can pray for repentance for ourselves. If, you know, if there's anything that we feel like God is leading us to repent for. But let's also pray for our church. Let's pray that if there's anything that, Lord, maybe we haven't done, let's pray for repentance, and that we'll hear that what we need to do, we'll follow and obey. But the same way, let's pray for our families, our, you know, our city. Let's pray that the spirit of repentance, right? John chapter 13, that the spirit of conviction is going to come and really cover our city and cover us, that God will hear our prayers and come and heal our land. Right? 2 Chronicles 16. And so let's really pray. Let's turn to our community focus. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's lift them up and let's just pray for God's covering over them. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's healing, but also pray that God will reveal His Son in them. Let's pray for dreams and visions. Let's pray for a supernatural encounter with God. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing from non-cancer related issues. Let's pray for God's covering. Pray for His healing. Pray for His providence. And just pray for His comfort as well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's pray for God to lift them up. Let's pray for His anointing and favor. And let's pray for His providence as they wait for their next call in Jesus' name. Praise God, our list got shorter though. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore. Let's pray for SPSG, Pastor Sam Kim and Annie and their family. Let's pray for covering protection over them. Let's pray for God's providence, especially now that they're going to have five very soon. So let's pray for just wisdom and anointing over them. Let's also pray for Indonesia and SPIN. Let's pray for Pastor Salama and Pastor Mimi. Let's really pray for their family, pray for their kids, and really pray for effectiveness in their ministry. And I know Pastor Salamat and Pastor Mimi is about to start something new, and so let's really pray for God's wisdom and covering and anointing over them. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for IP, Well, and River. Please pray for the leaders and also for the members. Let's pray for God's anointing. And let's just pray that they'll be able to move powerfully in the gifts of the Spirit, as well as to be able to hear from God and to pray for the church. Pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, SP Youth, SPU. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for the students and the kids. And let's really just pray that God touches them powerfully, that even from a young age, they'll already experience and have experience and know the presence of God, so that even as they grow, following Jesus becomes an easy thing because they know Him. So let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for our Thursday outreaches. Let's pray for SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's also lift up the leaders and all those that serve. Let's ask that God will just really touch them, encourage them, to give them an extra ounce of God's Spirit today, that, you know, wherever they go, whoever they talk to, that, you know, just the Spirit of God is just going to be with them, that people will see Jesus on their faces. And so let's lift them up. Just one more thing is, I felt like before we should end, is I was really reminded of, you know, God gave Solomon the kingdom. And when he gave him the kingdom, he asked him, what do you want? I'll give you anything. What do you want? And when Solomon asked for wisdom, God was so pleased that not only did he give him wisdom, he gave him the greatest wisdom, but then he also blessed Solomon. And I felt like God was speaking to me, and I felt like as a church too, is, you know, especially when we were talking about following the ways of the world versus following God and not being afraid, I felt like God was kind of asking us, what do you want? And I felt like our response this morning should be, God, give me wisdom to follow you. Give me the wisdom to know you. Give me the wisdom to know your scriptures. Because I feel like God was saying He's going to bless us anyway. Right? That's just the Father He is. In Matthew 7, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more with your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? And so I really felt like God just, that's His heart. He wants to bless us. But let's pray. Let's have wisdom. Lord, help me to know what to do with your blessing. And help me to follow you. So, Father, I thank you, God, for my friends this morning. And thank you, God, for everything that you've given to us. And I pray, Lord, will you give each and every single one of them and myself, Lord, wisdom. God, help us, Lord. Give us a heart to receive and ears to hear, God, what you're saying. And that, so that, God, we really can follow you. So that we can do what you ask. So that we can submit to your very word. Father, at the end of the day, God, we know that you're a God that loves us and a God who wants to prosper us and to lift us up. And so, God, knowing that, Lord, help us simply to do what blesses you, not what necessarily blesses us or the world, God, but what blesses you. And then from that place, God, give us peace and security. Give us rest from all sides. Though 10,000 may fall at our right hands, God, protect us. Help us, God, to live a life that is worthy of the calling that we've received, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good morning. We'll see you tomorrow.